Okay, so welcome. And this meeting is being recorded. Just as that voice says, I noticed that it doesn't show up in the recordings. So your future self, if you were to listen to this, wouldn't hear that. So today I'd like to continue on this series I've been doing, an exploration of loving kindness for the difficult person. And this is not where we start our loving kindness practice. And it might be that we never really get so that it's as easeful as for a person, the lovable being, unless we do some effort and are like on retreat or really do some extended time with loving kindness. So I want to set up the expectations that just like everything else, right? It's just kind of like practice and some repetition and work. I don't know if that's the right word, some application or persistence, something like this. You can insert your favorite word for that kind of stick-to-itiveness. But I want to talk about loving kindness for the difficult person for a number of reasons. And one is that often the difficult people in our lives, not always, but often we have some aversion, we have some ill will, we have a flavor of hatred. Maybe hatred is too strong a word, maybe not. But it's in that flavor of, you know, I really wish this person stopped behaving this way, stopped existing, stopped something or rather, right? We have this general feeling. And part of the reason of doing loving kindness for difficult people is this type of, I'll use the word hatred, but I'm using this as a generic word, maybe aversion, ill will. It affects us. It affects our hearts. It affects our minds. And sometimes it leaks out of us and shows up in our behavior and shows up in our speech. And that's not what we want to be doing, right? If we're practicing loving kindness, we're wishing to have an increase in loving kindness in the world, not an increase in some ill will or aversion or hatred. So even this kind of these low doses of hatred, something like annoyance or disapproval, it kind of reinforces this quality of mind that is constricted and tight and has like fallen into this thinking of I'm right and whatever that is happening over there is wrong. And that's getting in the way, and everything would be so much better if that person would just start behaving properly or something like this. Right? There's some version of thinking that, well, if only that other thing got fixed, everything would be just fine. And that having those types of thoughts kind of locks us into a tightness, or we can get into a rut, kind of like thinking about this. But we all know there are so many times in our lives when, in fact, we can't change the circumstances. We're all going to die, for example, right? We can't change this. So those things that are difficult, uncomfortable, but are a great place for us to maybe explore, how can we be with things that are difficult? Is there another way besides annoyance, disapproval, anger, ill will, hatred? You know, this shows up in so many different forms. Is there another way? So, maybe I'll just say that the Buddha offered an image of a person that has a torch and like thrusting it at the person with whom we're angry with, but it's really windy and it's windy towards us. So, right, we're having this wanting to harm or do this gesture of thrusting this torch, but ending up burning ourselves. So that's why one of the reasons why we'd want to do loving kindness for a difficult person. So then in contrast, maybe I would say that loving kindness is a healthy and inner state. And the more often that we can create the conditions in which it arises, more often that we can even conjure it up, more often that we can learn to sustain it or tap into it, the better off we are and the better off the world is. And of course, loving kindness is the antidote to hatred. And so loving kindness for the difficult person is a way in which we might directly address where there might be some constriction or tightness or getting stuck in a certain type of thinking. So this practice then is about being able to access and cultivate the most beautiful parts of ourselves, the real... it's telling me my internet connection is unstable. You know, I've been having trouble for the past few days. I've tried everything. I apologize for if I'm not coming out clearly. Maybe I should speak more slowly so that if it's a little intermittent. There's one last thing I want to say. Sometimes we might say, well, why should I do loving kindness for a difficult person? They don't deserve it. There might be some version of that type of thinking that comes in my mind. Like, why would I do it for them? I can do it for the people, my family, my friends. It makes me happy to do this. Why would I do it for a difficult person? And maybe I would say that loving kindness practice is not about them. It's about us. It's about our learning how to tap into this beautiful state that we all have. Sometimes we can use some help to make it come forth more readily or flesh it out and discover all the different aspects and colors and variations of it. So with that as an introduction, I'd like to lead us in some loving kindness for a difficult person. We won't start with a difficult person. Just if we were on retreat doing this for an extended time, we would have spent days, maybe even weeks, maybe even months doing loving kindness where it's easy, and then for ourselves, and then like a neutral person. So we will have worked our way and overcome all the barriers for any other people that are not the lovable being. We would have found our way through that before we came to a difficult people. So we're going to compress about a month's worth of practice to 30 minutes. Some of you, though, have been practicing regularly for over a year. It's beautiful. So we'll start with some mindfulness. Because sometimes when we're doing loving kindness for a difficult person, it can slide into anger, slide into some bitterness, slide into frustration or something other than loving kindness. When this happens, you can just switch over to mindfulness practice. Or maybe you could go back to loving kindness for the lovable being. But we'll start with some mindfulness, especially mindfulness of the body. So, feeling into what is it like to start a meditation session. What kind of a posture are you in? How Did you arrange your body, your limbs for this practice? How did you arrange your torso, the trunk of our body? It can be really helpful to have some uprightness in the spine. And if you're lying down, can there be a way in which your spine feels alert or energized? And then to sit and know that you're sitting. Feeling the contact of the body with the surfaces, the chair, the cushion, the floor, the bench, whatever you're sitting on. And feeling connected, grounded. Can bring awareness to our hands. What are they touching? We might feel the pressure against the hands, and we might feel the texture of what we're touching. Is it rough? Is it smooth? Temperature, is it hot, cold, warm? In the same way with our feet, what are they connected to? What are they touching? The breath, just resting the awareness on the movement of the chest or abdomen, or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. And can we bring some warmth and care to our mindfulness practice? That is, can we have an attitude of warmth? When we notice the mind is lost in thought, it's okay. Maybe there's a, it's okay, sweetie. Type of that kind of a tone, whichever feels comfortable for you. And then we just simply begin again with the sensations of breathing. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. Just noticing the sensations of breathing in a relaxed, easy, warm-hearted way. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring into mind a lovable being, someone with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship, somebody you know about, or an imaginary lovable being, which might be kittens, or puppies, or babies. And to connect with this lovable being in a way that feels comfortable, so without straining, but in a way that also allows the well-wishing, the goodwill to flow. And to support our connection, our goodwill, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. what is it like to tap into the well-wishing, the care, the respect you have for this lovable being? It might show up as some openness, spaciousness, warmth in the heart and the chest. Maybe it's a more vague feeling. Or maybe you're not feeling anything in particular. It's all perfectly fine. If there is a feeling of softness or warmth, you can allow that to be a support. Perhaps it's the part of the fountain of loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. What is it like to feel nourished, supported by this well-wishing, by this loving kindness? May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to extend this loving kindness to ourselves. Of course, it's helpful to have loving kindness for ourselves. Sometimes we omit ourselves, taking care of everybody else. So bring into mind either the felt sense of being here this moment, or maybe a visual image of yourself, one that makes you smile. Some people choose images from their childhood. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then I'm going to suggest that we expand our loving kindness for a difficult person. But you are the caretaker of your heart and mind. If this doesn't feel like the right thing to do, you can stay with loving kindness for yourself, for a friend, for a neutral person, whatever feels right for you. If you'd like to do loving kindness for a difficult person, I recommend that you don't start with the most difficult. This practice is definitely a progression. So somebody who's bothersome, irritating. But not the most difficult. And I'll offer some alternative phrases that might help for the difficult person. You might have to find your own version of phrases so that there's no struggle or conflict. To bring into mind the mildly difficult person. Visualizing them, or however it feels comfortable to connect with them. Maybe just saying their name. I'll offer the same phrases that I've been using for the past few sessions. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, such as clarity and kindness. May you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. May you be free of anger and bitterness. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, such as clarity and kindness. May you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. May you be free of anger and bitterness. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, may you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. if you find yourself sliding into something other than well-wishing, you can do loving kindness for a lovable being, or bring your awareness to your hands or to your feet or towards your breath. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you have happiness and the causes of happiness, such as clarity and kindness. May you be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, such as ill will and envy. May you be free of anger and bitterness. And then to end this meditation, feeling your feet on the ground and feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of loving kindness for the difficult person. Sometimes we might find ourselves thinking, but, you know, they don't deserve it, or why should I do that? It's really about freeing our own hearts and minds, independent of who they are or whether they deserve it or not. It's just to enable us to find more and more freedom in our lives. And for loving kindness to, we might imagine, like shining into some dark corners so that there become no dark corners. So this could be helpful to share with others, talk about with others, this idea of loving kindness for difficult people. And I'm using different phrases for the difficult people. You might find that your usual phrases are work great, but I'm offering alternative ones if they're not. So again, an encouragement to kind of personalize this and find your own way that feels right for you right now. Doesn't mean that it'll be exactly the same next week, next month, next year, tomorrow, but to tap into our own hearts and minds and what feels like the right pace, the right wording, these types of things. So I'd like to put you in a room. We'll go for 12 minutes. And it's helpful if one person says one thing and then it goes to the next person. They say one thing and then it goes to the next person. And that way, there's just you don't have to say everything about this topic, but it's an opportunity for everybody to have a chance to speak and to speak a second time because you're influenced by what you heard the other individuals in your group saying. And if it's helpful, if you'd like to decide who to go first and in which order to go, let's do it by the last digit of your social security number. And if you don't have a social security number, the last digit of your phone number. Okay, here we go. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Is there some comments or questions or something you'd like to share?
I would. My name is Don, by the way. I think it says USAID. And it was so interesting to hear Lish and Anthony sort of describe their what they were experiencing, and all these questions came to mind, and I sort of resisted the temptation to like ask questions or like give sage advice and all this sort of stuff. And over.
Yes, this is a practice in itself, right? The small groups, like how to share without giving advice or, yeah, somehow otherwise feeling like we have to fix everybody or something like this. Yeah, yeah. But instead, just an opportunity to share what's happening for us in a warm-hearted way, right? And it turns out to be such a beautiful thing, right? To just human beings coming together. Yeah. Thank you, Don. Thank you for sharing. Does anybody else have a comment or a question? Okay, well, here we are. It's the top of the hour. So maybe we'll close here. And what a pleasure it is to practice together. Thank you all. Thank you all. This is a beautiful thing that we're doing. It really is. So if you'd like, you can unmute yourself and we'll say goodbye in a raucous, unruly way.
Bye!
That's fantastic.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you. Thank you,
everyone.
Thanks, Diana.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Deep bows. Deep bows. Here we go.